What's your escape plan? When motherhood gets too hard, too much, too everything, and you're ready to pull the ripcord, how are you going to do it? Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life, creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully, and in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD.
Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung.
Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. Well, recently a friend asked me this question and I was like, what? What do you mean? She said, well, background story for you. My friend Veronica is a massage therapist and so she takes care of a lot of folks, many of them moms. And she asked 15 moms what their escape plan was for when motherhood got too hard, based on a conversation she had started with one of her clients. Well, one mom was contemplating becoming a nun. One thought about just, you know, heading on her way home down I-10 and just keep going. Don't stop. Never exit. Just head off into West Texas somewhere and start a new life. Another mom was trying to check herself into rehab so that she could have some peace and quiet. And I was like, have you ever been to rehab? But anyway, another mom had a very elaborate plan that involved getting her husband super drunk, somehow tricking him into cheating on her so that she could file for divorce and have plenty of alimony and be okay to live on her own. Now, bear in mind, my friend Veronica is happily childless in midlife and has no desire to have kids at all. So I feel like it gives moms a little bit of wiggle room on being honest because there's not that other mom judging her. You know what I mean? And I was honest. I'm like, I don't have an escape plan. Like, is my life perfect? No, but I've built it in the way that makes me happy. And she told me that out of the 15 moms she's asked, only myself and one other mom didn't have an escape plan. It made me be like, wow, moms are really struggling right now, which we all knew. But it broke my heart. But at the same time, I totally get it. And I asked her, what is the commonality that me and this other mom that didn't have an escape plan, like what would you say is the common denominator? And she started telling me about this woman who has 4 kids and absolutely loves being a mom. And I was like, that's not me. I love my kids, but I don't love being a mom. Being a mom's really hard. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of mundane, repetitive, zero glory, lots of complaints, job. So I was like, I definitely wouldn't put myself in the category of this woman who loves being a mom. And she said, well, I think the difference is that both of you have clear plans set out on how to take care of yourselves. You make time to still be you in the midst of being a mom, which really made me think because, wow, I didn't realize what a novelty that would be. But moms as a whole are really struggling right now. This pandemic has been weighty on mothers, which I won't get on that soapbox because I know you already know this. I wonder, what are you doing to take care of yourself? What are you doing that puts yourself on the priority list? All of these thoughts were coming together as I took my first solo vacation ever last month. I booked myself a getaway tiny cabin about an hour outside of Houston, and I have never traveled on my own before. I've taken trips with friends and trips with family and work trips, but I've never gone by myself just to be by myself. And when I told my husband that I wanted to do this, he basically told me I was crazy. Why would anybody want to do that? But also my husband is like extrovert to the max and doesn't understand my introverted tendencies of needing time and space to myself more than the average person. And don't you know that as we're approaching the dates, it was a big conundrum because In my ADHD haste, I told him the wrong dates. He agreed to those dates, and then I booked the dates that I had planned in my head, which were not the dates that I said, and ended up being a big fight, which was on me. But I'll be honest, I was totally defensive about it because I said at the beginning, I'm not 100% sure about these dates, but it's the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But the numbers I said were Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it turns out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was not a good choice for him. But I already booked it, so he said, fine, just do it. Well, then, don't you know, I lined up childcare coverage and made sure that he had help lined up, and it all fell through at the last minute. So he ended up having to take off work in order to stay home with the kids, and I really just thought about canceling the whole thing. But my husband's a champ, and he was like, I'll figure it out, just go, because I think he knew that I really needed the break. So I left on a Wednesday evening. I got to spend an entire glorious Thursday by myself, and then I checked out Friday morning and came back by lunchtime. And I wanted to share with you the 11 things I learned by spending a full 36 hours by myself. Number one, I do really well with a lot of sleep. I'm gonna be honest, I haven't slept 10 hours since before I got pregnant with my oldest son, and he's over 7. So it's been a solid 8 years of not sleeping 10 hours straight. Normally I have this awful slump midday, like at 1 o'clock, where I'm just toast. And granted, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with how sick I've been and my cortisol levels and all that jazz. But knowing that I got 10 hours of sleep and I woke up the next day and felt great. And then I slept 9 hours the next night and I woke up and I felt great. Like, hello, I know that sleeping is good for us, but it wasn't until I actually got 2 full quality nights of rest that I was like, oh, look, it worked. Y'all, with this ADHD, sometimes we just got to experience the lesson for ourselves. And we just don't learn when people tell us that or read it in a book or whatever. So lesson learned. Have I implemented this well since I returned? Not as much as I would have liked. But I do recognize how much value I got out of that. And I'm working on a plan. Number two, I was reminded that all good things come with a little doo-doo. Life's good and bad parts, they're intertwined, and we don't get to pick one or the other. I was laughing really hard because this cute little cardinal was sitting on my side view mirror, and it made me really happy because cardinals remind me of my childhood. I'm from Ohio, and it's the state bird of Ohio, and it makes me think of my mom, and he was tweeting, and I was tweeting back to him, and I felt like Cinderella, you know, with the bird swan around, sewing her dress, and they're sewing on all the ribbons, and it was a really happy moment for me. And then, don't you know, I get in the car and see that bird got poop everywhere, all over the side of my car, so I had to get a car wash. So I wouldn't trade that lovely memory. The car wash was worth it. But it was just a reminder that good things always come with some bad. Life is intertwined. You can't separate the two. So I'll take the cardinal and its pip. Number three, it was really good for my kids to be away from me because through all this pandemic stuff, they don't remember a time that I wasn't there, that I was gone for bedtime and the whole day. It was really hard for them, but they were fine. They were totally fine. And that's a beautiful point of resilience that our kids need to learn, that they will be okay without us. We are not the only thing that holds them together. We are not their glue. And they'll be okay without us. Which relates to number four. If you take some time away from your family, you don't have to ignore them completely. Find the balance that fits you. You shouldn't be on call solving all the problems. But you also don't have to go like completely dark and not talk to anybody either. It's fine to call them before bed and say goodnight, or say hi in the middle of the day, or send a cute picture back and forth. You don't have to ignore them, but whichever way you go, it'll be totally fine. Number five, I thought a lot about how can I be a better mom and a better partner. It's been a pretty stressful 2 years for the whole earth, and in our family too. Pre-pandemic, our lives looked very different. My husband traveled a lot for work. He was gone 3 days a week, usually 2 or 3 times a week. So there were some months where he wasn't gone as much, but then there'd be some months where he was gone a lot. And I figured out how to make our lives work on my own. I figured out my rhythms and routines and how to function with putting 2 kids to bed by myself and do all the things and keep up with all the stuff. But it would create a different problem when he'd come back and I'd be like, you're messing up my system and now things are all going wrong. And it made him feel unwelcome in our house. There were a lot of growing pains in there. And now the tables have turned. With the pandemic, my husband stopped traveling. I got really sick. He had to pick up a lot of the slack around the house of things that I just couldn't do anymore. And now that this podcast that was a hobby has become a business, I'm busier than I used to be, far busier. And while I know that this is the mission that God has sent me on to be a light to other moms with ADHD, that doesn't mean that my family doesn't come out unscathed. They are affected. My presence is missed when I'm not there. We've had to figure out, what does it look like when mom is working and can't be at this thing or can't do pickup? And as much as I arrange my work to be during school hours, sometimes things pop up or there's emergencies. And how do I make sure that I'm still honoring my family while I'm also honoring the work that God has set before me? It's a boundary that I have not sorted out. I'm working on it. I'm trying to find a plan. I'm seeking guidance. I'm seeking wisdom. And I know that I will eventually find a good balance, but my ADHD tendencies can really drag me into a hyper-focus when I need to be doing something else. And that's a hard thing to overcome. How do I figure out workarounds for that? How do I make this work? Because I have to. Our ADHD is always an explanation, but it's not an excuse. And I still want to do a really great job being a mom, in addition to being a really great business owner and a really great mentor and a really great friend. In conjunction with that is number 6, is that I was reminded that I have a lot of conversations inside my head that I don't let my husband in on. I think about things so many times and turn it over and flip it around and analyze it and reanalyze it and overthink it that a lot of times I've done that all in my head and I've never voiced them out loud. And for my husband to be my partner, I have to voice things out loud. I have to explain to him how my brain's working and what I'm thinking and how I'm dreaming and what are all the amazing things that I see for the vision of this podcast and courses and connections and mentoring and all of that. I have to let him in on that for him to be there with me. So reminding myself that all those conversations in my head are only in my head and I have to speak them out loud and let him in, so that he can be a part too. It's scary to open the door and like let someone see inside the dusty closet of things flown everywhere. I can feel shame and embarrassment about all the things that are floating around in my head and navigating when it's safe to let someone in, even though we've been together for like almost 20 years. Like, I still forget sometimes that he's a safe place and that I can be open and let him in. Number 7. Slowing down really matters. As moms, we're always moving and going. There's always another thing to do, another person to take care of, another person needing a snack. We need the time and space to slow down and look around because our ADHD minds are always propelling us forward. We have to slow down to be able to assess the situation. When we're in the weeds or we're in the jungle and the foliage is all in your face and you can't even see a few feet ahead of you, we can't make a bigger plan. We have to stop and assess and like pick our heads up and get a bird's eye view at the big picture and see what really matters. It's not an intuitive place for us to pick our heads up and look around and survey the land and make a plan. But that's the space where we can be proactive when we're looking at that big picture. And it's silly because I teach this in my courses and then I don't take my own advice. Anyone else? I know that when I slow down, that I can make a plan. That's what we talk about when we look at our planners for the week. We slow down for a minute and look at the whole week, the big picture, to figure out what is it that needs to happen to set myself up for success. But it's the same way for our whole lives, is that we have to slow down to be proactive and look at the big picture and choose what's the best thing for my whole life. I have to give myself the space to think about what I want to do better. Do you wish there was a way to feel like you're not failing at life and motherhood every day? I know what it's like to run around all day like a headless chicken, stressed because you're late to everything, and when you finally sit down after the kids are in bed, you think about how you didn't get anything done, and somehow your to-do list is longer than when you started out this morning. You're tired, drowning, and feel like you'll never catch up. But imagine this, when you sit down at the end of the night, there's no Mount Laundry, you know it's for dinner, you spend some quality time with your kids, and Medusa Mom didn't even rear her ugly head at bedtime, and you did something kind just for yourself today. If you did even one of those things today, you'd be thrilled, right? It's not a fairy tale, Mama. There are other moms with ADHD getting their days together, and you can too. That's why I created Time Management Mastery for ADHD Moms, where I teach you how to create a rhythm for your day in an ADHD-friendly way that puts the lengthy to-do list of motherhood on automate, so you don't have to think about when you'll sleep next or how you'll find time to pay that bill you've been putting off. You'll be able to make a plan for your day that is fluid enough for your ADHD brain to stick with, but structured enough to feel like you're in control. Remember, our rhythms and routines serve us, not the other way around. Over the next 11 weeks, you will create a flexible framework for your day and walk away with a community of moms who understand you and are cheering you on and say, I'm right there with you. Because being a mom is hard. We will get off track. That's just part of ADHD, but now you will have the support to get back on track when you are struggling. We meet weekly to help us remember, oh yeah, we're working on a goal. Most importantly, you'll learn about how your ADHD brain works so that you make decisions from a place of confidence, because a healthy mama leads a healthy family. Being proactive comes from a place of strength, which takes a ton of strain off your relationships because you are in a better place. When you're ready to lighten your load by making a daily plan and figuring out what makes sense for your ADHD brain and enjoying more of your motherhood, it's time to sign up for the Time Management Mastery for ADHD Moms program. The program's starting right now. Hello, immediate gratification. So sign up right now at bit.ly/ADHD framework. That is bit.ly/ADHD framework. And that's all lowercase letters. bit.ly/ADHD framework. So sign up now before you forget, okay? I can't wait to help you feel good about your day, but more importantly, I want you to feel good about yourself. So sign up at bit.ly/ADHD framework. Number 8, I was reminded that motherhood is extremely time-driven, and this is a huge point of contention for us because we know we're not good with time, and that creates a much higher level of stress and anxiety for us because motherhood is time-driven. Having an entire 24 hours and driven by only my own personal whims, well, and my blood pressure medicine that has to be taken every 4 hours, but I digress. Like, I didn't have to be up by a certain time. I didn't have to feed anyone a certain time. I didn't have to make sure someone took a nap or had to be at school or did homework or ate another snack or anything. Went potty. Like, I wasn't keeping the clock for all the other humans. It was amazing. That level of freedom and stress that was taken off me in that 24 hours where I didn't have to keep up with the time all day, all the time. I knew that that was what was so stressful for me. But to actually experience that, where I could just eat what I wanted, when I wanted, I was able to turn my brain off and relax. And when I explained ahead of time, I was telling my husband, this is why I want to go. I want to turn my brain off. I don't ever get to turn my brain off. Even when you're sleeping, your mom ear is on to see if somebody's vomiting or crying or whatever. And I wasn't able to completely put it into words before. It's like I knew that this is what I needed and I kind of knew why. But now I was like, oh, this is it. The responsibility of keeping other humans alive, always having to think about what food has to come next, what sleep has to come next, how am I going to keep this person alive? It's a lot of pressure. You're not imagining it. It is stressful. This is also why these breaks, creating space for your brain to be able to turn off, is so valuable. We don't have to white knuckle it through life. That time and space away allows you to lower your stress, lower your anxiety, because there's not another looming deadline that always comes with motherhood. Number 9, this trip also allowed me the time and space to realize how incredibly thankful I am for you. The community that we created to know that I'm not the only one who feels like this, and I have people who understand me and get me and encourage me and love me just as I am. Wow, like that's the best word I've got. I am so appreciative of you, of my village, my support. If you are not a part of our free Facebook community, please go and join. If you're like, I'm not a social media person, Patricia, that's fine. That's why I put our student community on a not social media website, because I know what time suck those can be. Both of these communities of women are so encouraging. We can be ourselves and ask questions. There are no dumb questions. A lot of times we feel like there's not enough places here that we can be on the earth and just be ourselves. And while that makes me sad, it also makes me really happy that we do have that in our community. So if you need that too, come join us, okay? Number 10, our second to last tidbit here, is the idea of self-care versus aftercare. Now, I'm going to link one of my favorite Instagram accounts, which is Dr. Nedra. The other day, she posted a video about the difference between self-care and aftercare, that we keep touting all this self-care, but yet what we're doing is actually aftercare. We're waiting until we have a big problem, and then we try to fix it, instead of doing self-care, which is taking care of ourselves before we have the problem. And let's be honest, this pandemic has made a problem for like every mom, okay? We all got problems. So at this point, like, we're not doing any self-care, we're just doing aftercare. We're just repairing. We're being reactive. Where the whole point of self-care is to work on it ahead of time and be proactive so that we don't get to the place of burnout and stress. I didn't realize how much I was doing aftercare and not self-care. And while that's still valuable, I want to get to the point where it's more self-care and more proactive than it is aftercare and burnout. So what does this look like for you? It doesn't have to be this sweeping 24-hour away from your family thing if that's not feasible for you at this point. So what are the little things you can do? What are the little ways that you can recharge your battery? We were just talking last week in our Wednesday support group for students about one of the moms asked, like, how do I deal when my kid is pushing all my buttons and I am just done and I can no longer help them self-regulate because I am no longer regulated? And we talked about how we feel awful because we feel like, well, I went from 0 to 100 in like 2 seconds and there was nothing to be done about it. And then I snapped at my kids and, you know, Medusa mom came out and it was awful. And then we're beating ourselves up and the shame and the blah, 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 blah. But that's because we're incorrectly thinking that we went from 0 to 100 in that moment. We didn't. All day long, that meter was rising. We were fine at 0 when we first woke up. Then we open our eyes and there's a toddler standing there looking at you, scaring the ever-loving bejesus out of you, peering at your bed. Has that ever happened to you? And you hit 10 or 20. Maybe you jumped to 40 because of this irritation or that irritation and this thing didn't go your way and it's slowly creeping up all day and you're fine at 60 and 70 and 80 starts to get ugly. And when you hit that 80 to 100 so quickly, you're beating yourself up, but that's because you didn't start at 0. You were at 80 when that awful thing happened or that irritating thing happened. And that's how you ended up 100 and Medusa mom shows up. So what are we doing during the day for ourselves to pull the meter back down before we get to 100 or before we hit 80? So when we feel ourselves getting to 50, what can we do to pull it back a notch and drop down to 40 or 30? Because we know there's going to be more things in the day that irritate us or frustrate us. What are we doing throughout the day to lower the emotional regulation meter so that we're not yelling at everybody by bedtime? So that's my question for you, is what can you do today? Something little that's going to bump that meter down 1 or 2 points so that you can make it through these crazy times that we're in as moms. And number 11, I was reminded that I am far more capable than I think I am. I was listening to a podcast with Holly McHugh, and I'll tag it in the show notes. She was speaking about how we have to do the thing. We have to take the action before we're going to feel confident and competent in what you're doing. There's so many times that we hold ourselves back thinking like, oh, I'll do that when I'm ready, or let me just prep one more thing, or this isn't the right time. And there's never a right time. Just like there was never the perfect time where like, I'm ready to be a mom. I know all the things. I'm totally prepared. No, you just jump in with 2 feet and hope for the best. It's a metaphor for your whole life. We are constantly evolving. We're constantly changing and we don't have clarity on what the next step is until we're actually moving. When I think about this podcast, where I came from 3 years ago, which by the way, totally forgot to celebrate my 3-year anniversary here with y'all. Totally forgot. I look back at where we've come these last 3 years, and I never could have told you at the beginning that this is where I would be. I never could have predicted the topics that we're talking about or that I would be teaching classes. I don't know where we're going until I put something out there and see, like, did you like it? What was your feedback? Did this resonate with you? Did that resonate with you? And that's when I can see this is what you want more of. When you send me emails about like that episode, that was it. Or when I write you an email and you're like, that email, that's it. This is what I needed to hear. That's how I know where to go with my next steps, by taking in all that feedback from what I put out into the world, gathering the data, and then making a decision for what's next. And even though I've got that figured out in my business, in my personal life, sometimes I don't. When I think back, 2 years ago is when I got really sick. That was the beginning of the avalanche. Granted, it had been building up for years, but March of 2020 was the avalanche of when I got so sick. I was bedridden or sofa ridden because I was so sick. I am still sick, but I'm not that sick anymore. I'm getting better. I'm doing more. But when things move slowly, we don't see our progress and we still think of ourselves like the old person we were instead of the new person we're becoming. And when I was on this getaway, I went on a walk with no pressure of how long it needed to be or how far I was going to go. And a year ago, I couldn't have walked down my driveway and back without being out of breath and my heart pounding. 6 months ago, I couldn't have made it around the block. But on this trip, I was able to walk and I just walked and I knew about how long the loop was and if I got to a certain point that I needed to turn back or else it'd be shorter to keep going. So I was careful and I made a plan and I knew that if I was too tired, I had to turn back. But I ended up being able to walk for an hour. And granted, I was not moving fast by any means. But I did it. And I could not have done that 3 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago. But I can't keep thinking of myself as a sick person because then I stay in the place where sick people can't do things. I'm leaning into the neuroplasticity of my brain and telling myself a different narrative that I can do so much more than I used to. And I'm rewiring how my brain functions. And yet still floating around in my brain with some old knowledge because I figured out how to start a fire all by myself. It's been a really long time since I was in Girl Scouts, but I figured it out. Now it takes some talent and persistence, tending it and putting in the leaves, getting the fire going till the littler sticks catch fire, then the bigger sticks and the big ones and the big logs. But I did it. And having that opportunity to step back and say, I can pull this knowledge from long ago of old Patricia and still use it. But I also don't have to be cemented in the places that I don't want to be. I don't want to be sick Patricia anymore. And I'm not. And to believe that in my heart is a really, really big triumph. To be able to accept reality, but also look forward to what's beautiful and what's ahead. Are you doing that, Mama? Have you stopped recently to look at what you can do instead of what you think you can't do? Have you tried something knowing that it might be a total failure, a complete bust, but yet done it anyway? We can start those little things in little ways. Like, if I didn't figure out the fire, well, I'd be all right. If I didn't make it on a long walk, well, I'd be all right. When we feel like we can't do stuff and we put all this pressure on ourselves and wait until we know it's going to be perfect before we try, we don't get anywhere. So what can you try that's new today that has low pressure and knowing that it might be terrible, but it's okay because we have to start, we have to move, we have to take a step forward in order to know what the next step is after that. Action begets clarity. Action begets confidence. Even if you've been told over and over again that you can't do it. You can. You can do so much more than you think you can. And you know deep down in your gut that things are possible, that dreams are possible, that you've shoved aside, and you can. If sick Patricia, who was on a couch dying, couldn't even walk to the kitchen 2 years ago, can get up and walk for an hour now, whatever you think you can't do, you can. Because I can tell you that 2 years ago, sick Patricia was pretty sure that this was her fate forever. But it wasn't. Even when we're sick, even when we're down, we can still dream big and do things that we don't think we can do. You know, I'm not dismissing the realistic truth. I'm speaking into your heart that you can do more than you ever imagined possible. So dream big, Mama. Take one step forward. Do one thing for yourself. Pick one of the things and do it today. One step at a time, little by little. We can make the life that we want to live, even when life is hard. I'll talk to you soon, successful Mama. For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.